welcome to the LMA Torchcast for Friday, March 7th, 2018. This is part two of the Torchcast for this week. As we all know by this point, we had two major announcements last week, one of which being the UFC getting the sponsorship from Bud Light, which is probably the preeminent sponsor in all of sports, really. Let's talk about that real quick. I don't want to get too deep into it, but what's your take on this whole sponsorship deal? Is it that important, and what does it mean for the UFC?
Well, I think it's big for the UFC. I mean, like you said, Bud Light is one of the more established brands in all of sports. I mean, if you look at the Super Bowl with the Bud Bowl and the advertising dollars that go into things like that. I mean, I think getting Budweiser and Bud Light specifically, I think it's a huge sponsorship deal, and I think it goes towards a little bit more towards the mainstream. And
yeah,
I think that's something that makes Dana White, you know, have dollar signs in his eyes. The more mainstream you get, the more public acceptance you get, the more dollars that are going to be generated from revenue for the UFC. And I think it can't hurt. You know, it beats Mickey's. I mean, I love Mickey's, but I think if you're going to ask, you know, 100 people what product they were more familiar with, 85-86% of them would say it's Bud Light. So,
yeah.
You know, but
I'm all liquor that it is. It's no Bud Light, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it screams, you know, American mainstream, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I think that's something that's really attractive to Dana White and the Fertittas. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely with you on that. I think, you know, it's like Dana White's been saying for a while. Once the first one gets on board, then everybody wants in. And, you know, whether that means more big-time sponsors or whether it means networks approaching the UFC or whatever it means,
exactly.
It's definitely a big first step in the right direction.
Yeah, I think Harley Davidson kind of snuck a foot
yeah.
in the door, and then Bud Light came right behind him, so.
Yeah, definitely. And on the heels of that as well, we've got Rampage Jackson now, who to me should be the biggest star in the UFC, who's got to deal with Nike.
Yeah, well, he's about to be, because once he's on a Nike commercial, he's going to be implanted right into the psyche of the American mainstream. So,
yeah.
And, I mean, reading some of the names that are on this Nike commercial with him, yeah, it's going to definitely be a success by association. Then they're going to see LeBron James, and then they're going to see Quentin Jackson on the same advertisement.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge for the UFC. And I agree with you. I think Quentin Jackson is one of the more marketable people, not just in MMA, but in all sports. I mean, the guy is as charismatic as they come. And he's got the resume to back it up as far as success in mixed martial arts. So, yeah I think they should be riding the Quentin Rampage Jackson train for a long time. Whether he's a champion or not, I think the guy is, you know, unbelievably marketable. So,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, even just looking at a Nike commercial, if you see a guy who you know as a person that's not really a UFC fan but knows of the UFC, you see a guy in a Nike commercial wearing a chain, and you hear that he's a champion in the UFC, you're going to want to see him fight.
It's going to get somebody to tune in that may not have tuned in prior to seeing that commercial. And I think it's going to have a domino effect. You know, if someone, I mean, just me being a mixed martial arts fan since, you know, the early days of the UFC, I know that I watched Royce Gracie choke a bunch of people out, and the first thing I did was tell all my friends about it. And I think that kind of word of mouth is also going to be generated by the Quentin Jackson Rampage Jackson Nike commercial. It's going to be, wow, you know, I saw this guy. Then you're going to have a couple of guys over for the fight, and you're going to see somebody else you might be interested in. And you're going to see some good fights, and then it's going to become a tradition. Hey, every month over at my house, let's watch the UFC. And I think it's going to, you know, spread like, you know, the UFC bacteria that has already spread since 05 when Forrest Griffin fought Stephen Bonner. It's pretty much that's, you know, it's one step at a time. You know, it's getting into the cable television market. Then it's getting into kind of the mainstream psyche. And I think Bud Light goes a long ways towards that. And I think Quentin Jackson's Nike commercial is just going to keep the train rolling. So They got to get on network TV, though. That's the next step, I think.
Yeah, and speaking of network TV, of course, we've got Elite XC, who has mainly been on Showtime up until now, with the face of Elite XC being Kimbo Slice. Tell me your feelings on the CBS deal, what it means for MMA in general, because obviously it's going to get Elite XC's name out there, probably just a little bit. I still don't think Elite XC is going to be a household name after this.
No, I don't either. I mean, I think it's great. I think it's a big step. I think more than anything, it's kind of a jab at Zuffa for them trying to work out a deal with CBS. And then Elite XC kind of sneaking in the back door and getting that network deal signed. I'll be honest, though, it's odd. It's going to be odd watching MMA on network television. There's just something that feels weird about it, especially when you have Elite XC and their most marketable person's Kimbo Slice. I have nothing against Kimbo Slice, other than the fact that I don't think he's nearly as good as people seem to think he is. But you got Kimbo, and he's not exactly the kind of, you know, role model, squeaky clean image that you think of with network television. But at the same time, you know, CBS is also airing episodes of Dexter on Sunday nights, and that's odd as well. if anybody's seen the show Dexter, it doesn't seem like a natural fit for network television.
Yeah,
I think it kind of comes off like that. Great show, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I think Kimbo on CBS is going to be weird.
Yeah, definitely weird.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I mean, to me, you're going to see...
I wish I had more than that, but
yeah.
It's going to be kind of weird.
Yeah. You're going to see Elite XC on CBS, and it's going to be... I mean, to me, I don't think people are going to see it as, here's Elite XC. They're going to think, here is... You know, a lot of people are probably going to think it's the UFC.
Exactly.
You know, because a lot of people aren't familiar with the term of mixed martial arts. You know, they see it as, you know, the UFC is kind of the NFL, and that's the sport. So, they're going to be fighting in a cage, just like they do in the UFC, and all that stuff. So,
it goes a long way towards the job UFC has done of their branding. Now people, I think, look at any fighting in a cage, at least the mainstream population, looks at it as, that's UFC.
Yeah,
it's like Kleenex.
Fighting.
You know, it's not every tissue is called Kleenex. It's tissue.
Yep.
I'll be damned if someone doesn't say, hand me some Kleenex, when they don't have any idea what brand of tissue it is they're grabbing. You know, I think it's, you know, we all know Pepsi and Coke are competing brands, but how many times do you go to a restaurant and just assume you're going to get a Coke?
Yeah.
I think it's just excellent brand marketing by the UFC. And I agree. I think, if anything, Elite XC on network television is going to help the UFC, which is kind of a strange concept. But I think it's good for the sport, but I think it's an odd match. But
yeah, my only concern is the whole Kimbo Slice situation, because I don't know. You know, I wonder how they're going to market him. The way that Gary Shaw has been going, you know, they were showing the YouTube fights in the first time that he fought against Bo Cantrell, and now the second one was Street Certified. You know, Street Fighter against Street Fighter. So what's he going to do when he gets on CBS? Is he going to stay with the street image? I mean, obviously that's what he's got going for him. You know, it kind of makes me nervous a little bit, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to put that big of a stigma on the sport, even if Kimbo Slice is the face of MMA for a little while.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the only way you can really market him. I mean, that's what Kimbo Slice is. I mean, that's the only. I mean, if he didn't have those fights on YouTube, none of us would be talking about Kimbo. He never would have made it into mixed martial arts. You know,
that's a good point.
I don't think he would have. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the image. With Kimbo, he's all image, really. I mean, it's not like he's knocking out, you know, Randy or, you know, Fedor. He's beating Bo Cantrell, who, you know, under pretty questionable circumstances. I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
All I know is that Afropuff seemed to take 25, 30 shots from Kimbo before he fell, And I know Bo Cantrell took a forearm shiver and started tapping on his way down. I mean, that's what I saw.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Tank, let's be honest, Tank has won one of his last nine fights, and that was against an incredibly overrated to begin with Cabbage.
Yeah.
And we're talking Cabbage when he's on his last wills, you know, in
yeah.
06. So, yeah. And beating Tank isn't – It's not what it used to be. If this was 1997, I'd be like, "Whoa, Kimbo's badass." But this is Tank when he's in his 40s and
yeah.
not real interested in doing anything other than collecting a paycheck. So,
absolutely. I think probably even the more interesting thing to me is going to be the production. I mean, I've been a little outspoken when I'm watching the Elite XC events about. You know, I'm not a big fan of the dancing girls, and I'm not a big fan of, you know, how Elite XC has really been presented up to this point. But I wonder what CBS is going to do with it. Like, who are they going to get to announce the shows? Are they going to stay with Mauro Ranallo? Are they going to stay with, you know, Frank Trigg and those guys? Actually, has Trigg been doing those ones? Goldberg, yes. Oh,
yeah.
Are they going to stay with Goldberg? If they stay with Goldberg, I might throw up. I don't
yeah.
know.
Yeah, here's hoping there's some CBS exec that feels the same way. Because,
yeah.
Yeah, I can barely tolerate him.
Yeah.
For the most part, with those Elite XC broadcasts, I have to hit the mute button. Those
yeah.
are much better watch with Led Zeppelin 4 in the background. yeah, not really entertaining commentary. I love Steven Quadros, so, I mean...
Yeah, I do like Quadros.
I'm a fan of him. But, yes, Renault and Goldberg are... I guess they're just... they're not for everybody. They're an acquired
yeah.
taste, so...
Yeah, yeah.
But,
I've heard them quite a few times, and it's a taste I haven't acquired
yeah,
yet.
Exactly. it's like port wine cheese. Some people
yeah.
just never make the connection, you know? So, I mean, honestly... I think CBS would do good things to try to maybe clean up the image that because honestly those Elite XC broadcasts there's a lot of filler that's not necessary
yeah.
You know the dancing girls and whatnot it ends up coming off pretty cheesy and
yeah.
if you've been to any lower level MMA shows that's kind of what they're like you know
right.
they have. Dancing girls from a radio station, and they have, you know, live bands and DJs and whatnot, and it just comes off kind of lower level.
It's been kind of the irony to me is like you don't need that stuff. You're on Showtime, you
exactly.
know.
You don't. I mean, if I'm in a, I mean, to use a point of reference, I was at a Pure Combat show, which is a local Northern California show. I was there last Friday. And top-notch production. I thought it was a great lower-level show, and it came off okay. But you know, you're not on Showtime. You need something
yeah.
between the fights to entertain the crowd, and so you know, you have dancing girls, and you got a DJ, and you got a live band, and you know, honestly, I could do without all that stuff, but I understand why they do it.
Yeah.
But when you have a production with top-level fighters on Showtime, it should just be about the fighting. You know what I
yeah.
mean? And
yeah.
I think oftentimes Elite XC has come off kind of cheesy in that department.
Definitely.
Because I've seen good fights on Elite XC shows, but I always seem to remember kind of the bad taste in my mouth about the production value, how it just came off kind of, you know, Bush League. And
yeah.
So I think CBS could go a long way in trying to clean that up a little bit.
Yeah. Now, as far as the ramifications of this deal, to me, you know, the UFC doesn't have to follow suit, at least right away. But they, to me, they've got to get on network TV eventually. What do you think about that?
I agree. Yeah, I think they do. I think the gauntlet's now been thrown down.
Yeah.
You know, with Elite XC being on CBS, the UFC has to make their next move. Because
yeah.
as big of a deal as it is to be on cable television, the spectrum of acceptance of getting on network television is way more wide, you know, wide reaching. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see UFC come to a deal with Fox. I think that would be a good match. You know, as odd of a fit as Elite XC is for CBS, I think the UFC and Fox, that's a good fit.
I absolutely agree. Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Fox, I mean, this is a network famous for bringing you, you know, the Family Guy.
Yeah.
It, you know, it's not so much of a stretch to have fighting on television when you come from a place that specializes in more adult humor. I just think the demographic is a better fit, you know.
Yeah, and I think, you know, much to my dismay probably, but the Fox is probably the one that's most likely to let the UFC keep their commentators.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they would let them have a little bit more creative control.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it makes sense, you know, watching the UFC following the Family Guy, but it doesn't make sense watching Elite XC follow Jericho or something. You know what I mean? It's just, it just doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So I think the UFC might come out smelling like a rose in this whole deal if they're able to come to an agreement like that.
Yeah. I think the whole thing for Dana White is going to be he's not going to want to be outdone by Gary Shaw, because you know that Dana White can't stand Gary Shaw.
Oh no, believe me, it's it's officially a personal challenge.
Yeah.
It went from being something desirable to being a personal challenge as soon as Elite XC announced that they signed with the CBS network. So, yeah, I would say that in the next couple of months, look for an announcement that the UFC signed with a major network.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me if they tried to even put one on before the Elite XC ended up doing it. Of course, Elite XC is doing it in April, so that's probably not feasible. But if they didn't have the show the fight night, if it wasn't going to be on Spike, if it was going to be on pay per view, I wouldn't be surprised if they would have tried to move that from pay per view to a network
before Dana White.
Did it.
Yeah,
what's that?
Yeah, that'd be classic Dana White.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Elite XC is the main competitor, you know.
Yeah.
They are the only game in town that can actually challenge the UFC in the States. You know, obviously Dream coming up with overseas is going to – maybe it has potential to be the Pride equivalent at some point.
Yeah, but not right away anyway.
Not right away, and right now Elite XC is – I mean, they're still far behind the UFC as far as, you know, in reach, but they've got some things up their sleeves, you know.
Yeah, and to follow up on your point a little bit, you know, you said to get on cable TV was a big deal, but network TV is just another league. I read somewhere, and I can't remember where the source was, but it was saying, you know, the CBS's biggest failure was like 6 million viewers, you know, regularly. So,
yeah.
which cable isn't even sniffed at any day.
No,
so
they're not even close. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
Different world.
The worst rated, you know, network television show is consistently drawing more than, you know, the highest rated cable shows.
Yeah,
it's
a huge hit on cable.
Huge hit on cable. Yeah, the worst show on network TV would be a huge hit on cable.
Yeah.
Well, just goes to show you that, you know, WWE Raw is a huge hit on cable television, but Saturday Night's Main Event on NBC is a disappointing failure. You know what I mean? And that's just to put it in that kind of perspective. That's what we're looking at when you got Spike TV and you got, you know, The Ultimate Fighter. It's a hit on cable at a 1.2 rating.
Yeah.
You know, if that was if something drew a 1.2 on network television, it would be in the toilet, you know.
Yeah,
so,
they'd have it off the air after the first episode.
Exactly. So, yeah, I think it goes without saying it's a huge step to get on network television. So.
Yeah, I mean, really it's the next logical step, because UFC started getting big was obviously when it got on cable.
Yeah.
You know, so if they want to go mainstream, then it's the obvious step again to go network. So,
yeah,
to me, it's just a matter
really
of time.
The Tough Show was really what put the UFC on the mainstream map, you know. People started realizing, wow, this might be cool, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, let's move on a little bit to some upcoming things. And, let's talk about World Victory Road real quick.
For sure.
Were you able to, I saw the results of the show. I haven't actually been able to see the fights. But we've got Josh Barnett now. Well, I saw that Josh Barnett was fighting Yoshida instead of trying to set up a fight with Fedor. And, you know, obviously not to fault Barnett on any of this, but
no.
It kind of upsets me, because that's the fight that everyone wants to see. That's, you know, it's the only really a real contender for Fedor outside the UFC is Josh Barnett, and here he is fighting a judoka.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Well, I mean, yeah, what's going on? What's going on with Josh Barnett? That's a good question. I think if you would have told Josh Barnett, hey, you're fighting Fedor, he would have been all over it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I don't necessarily think Fedor wants to fight Josh Barnett because he's a guy that can make Fedor make him look like he can be beaten, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Josh Barnett would beat Fedor. I just think that he's the kind of guy that could give Fedor problems. And I think Josh Barnett can give anybody problems. He's one of the top three heavyweights in the world, in my estimation. I think he's a great fighter. And I think I've been wanting to see Josh Barnett and Fedor fight for a long time. And
I
never got the chance to see it in Pride. And I thought that once neither one of them were signed by the UFC, I thought it was going to be a given we'd see him fight.
Absolutely. And, I thought that was the one bright spot in Fedor not signing with the UFC is that he'd be able to fight Barnett.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's a fight that not just you, I think everybody wants to see that fight.
Yeah.
And I know Dana White has been quoted as saying, you know, who gives a damn about Josh Barnett?
Right.
I think he's underestimating what I think a lot of people give a damn about Josh Barnett. I mean,
I agree.
I think he's a damn good fighter. And, I'd like to see him fight Fedor, and I'd like to see him fight Randy. I think, and I got to think Randy'd want to avenge the loss, you know?
Yeah.
Even though Barnett was, apparently under the use of steroids during that fight. That's one of those fights that Randy hasn't gotten a chance to avenge yet, so.
Yeah, and it's an interesting one because, you know, who else could bully Randy Couture?
Yeah, exactly.
Besides Barnett.
Yeah, I think he's basically, he's the one guy other than Randy outside of the UFC that's a good fight for Fedor. You know?
Yeah.
And I think people will be interested in that fight. I know I am personally. So, I think it's unfortunate that he had to fight Yoshida.
It seems to me that the big mistake that Fedor's people are making, and I don't know who is calling what shots now, whether it's M1 or Red Devil or whatever, but it seems that the big mistake that they seem to be making is waiting for that Couture fight that might not even happen.
Yeah. I tell you what, Dana White's going to do whatever he can to make sure that fight doesn't happen.
Yeah,
so.
You better believe it.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think they're putting all their eggs in one basket here. And I hear Fedor is fighting someone else. I don't know who. I hear it might be Jeff Monson.
That's what I've heard, too.
I mean, he's going to pound Jeff Monson.
It's not even anything close to a contest.
I mean, Tim Sylvia pounded Jeff Monson. And he actually even had some success on the ground with him. I mean, I think Jeff Monson's a fine mid-level fighter. I think his ground game is fantastic. But Fedor's going to have his way with Jeff Monson. It's not even close. You know?
Yeah, Monson's a good fighter, but he doesn't have the size to compete with the big guys.
Fedor's otherworldly, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
If anybody's going to challenge him, it's going to be, I don't know, Josh Barnett or Couture. I mean, and the thing that's frustrating is that Barnett fight was out there and it didn't happen. And I'm hoping it happens. I mean, obviously, there's still opportunities to fight down the road, but here's hoping.
Now, of course, we said we were going to talk about World Victory Road, and here we are, you know, with Josh Barnett. But Barnett actually, he did win against Yoshida with a heel hook. It would be just so much nicer to see him on with bigger and better things than fighting Yoshida.
For sure.
Who has, you know, not a whole lot of credentials outside of Japan.
Yeah. I mean, I think Yoshida's a fine fighter. I just think that there's a lot better fights out there for Josh Barnett. Have him fight Emelianenko's little brother, you know? I mean,
yeah, no kidding.
I'd be down with that, too. I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things that I guess that's why I'm sitting here talking to you, on a podcast about it, and I'm not a matchmaker. They know something I don't know, so.
You know, also on the World Victory Road card, we had Aristoire Bodog fight champion Nick Thompson winning his fight. You had Takanori Gomi winning against Bang Ludwig. Ludwig apparently got cut in the first round a couple minutes in. What am I missing? Is there something else on this card that was noteworthy?
No, I think that's probably going to cover the noteworthy fight. I mean, to me, when I looked at that card, I mean, it's a fine card, but it was the Gomi fight and the Barnett fight that I was really interested in.
Yeah.
And both of those fights ended pretty predictably. I mean, I would have guessed Barnett would have subbed Yoshida. And,
yeah.
I would have guessed that Dwayne Love would have got cut. You know?
Right.
I've seen that story once or twice with Bang. So
this is about as newsworthy as Nick Diaz getting cut.
Yeah, exactly. You know it's going to happen at some point.
Yeah.
And I mean the Misaki fight, I guess, was interesting because he was taking on the Shudo European champion.
Right.
But another one that didn't surprise me. I thought Misaki would get past him there, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, speaking of upstart Japanese promotions, we've got Dream coming up, I believe, on the 15th. Is that right?
Dream, yeah, it's happening March 15th.
Yeah,
I hope everybody wants to be up really late at night
yeah,
to participate in the watching of that show. It's good. It harkens back to the old Pride days where back on early pay per view of Pride, where people were staying up till 3 a.m. to watch those Pride shows. So
yeah, and I haven't heard yet how it's going to be made available. I heard that HDNet was going after being able to televise it, which would be nice for those of us with HDNet. But
as far as I know, that's not confirmed, though. So, I mean, I do know.
Yeah, nothing's confirmed yet.
HDNet wants to do it. And, that lightweight Grand Prix is going to be a hell of a card. You know,
it's worth the price of admission just for the Aoki Kawakati fight.
Yeah, that's that right there. I mean, for fans of the lightweight division, that is like a fantasy fight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aoki and Calvacante have them fight in the first round, I don't know is necessarily the best choice.
Yeah.
But I think, because, I mean, that would probably end up being the finals. I mean, a lot of people think Kawajiri might be the other guy in the finals.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's also Hansen, who's a fantastic fighter.
Yep.
Win or lose, it's going to be an interesting fight whenever he's involved.
Mm-hmm.
You got Ishida, Gilbert Melendez, Kyle Uno. It's just riddled with excellent names. Black Mamba's on that card as well. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
It's going to be, yeah, I mean, it's very, very encouraging card. So,
yeah, definitely encouraging. So hopefully we'll be able to actually get a hold of that one when it happens, but we'll still have to wait and see what happens there.
I'll see it somehow.
Yeah.
Hooker by crook, I'll end up seeing that show, so.
Yeah, so hopefully by the next show we'll know how you can see that card. But
I'm sure there'll be something out there.
Oh,
availability.
Yeah, gotta be something. There's always something. But coming up this weekend, actually on Showtime, is going to be Cage Rage with the fourth or fifth triumphant return of Ken Shamrock.
Yeah. Ken actually might do okay in this fight against Robert Berry.
Well, sure.
Robert Berry's a guy I've seen fight a couple of times, and Ken's moving back up to heavyweight, which at this point in his life might be a better move.
Yeah, it's where he needs to be if he's going to fight.
He's probably more of a natural 225, 230, and I'm sure he'll be in excellent shape. He generally is. But, yeah, I mean, Ken's got to hope he wins because there's big paydays if he can win, just because I know that he wants to fight Kimbo, and I know that he also wants to fight his brother. And those are two fights that'll make some money, and he's not going to see those fights if he can't get past Robert Berry. So
yeah, very true. Probably the only other, at least at first glance, the only other noteworthy thing about this card is you've got Ryan Shamrock, Ken's son, making is it his debut?
No, this is his second fight. He fought for Valor Fighting.
That's right.
In Northern California. And won in the first round against some guy that you'll probably never hear from again. This is his second fight. His first fight in a major promotion, if you want to call Cage Rage a major promotion.
Right.
But since, you know, they're also owned by Pro Elite, which is, you know, basically they're a co-op of Elite XC. I would consider at this point probably a major promotion. So.
Yeah. So you've got him making his Cage Rage debut anyway. And he's fighting at what, 135, 125 maybe?
Yeah, I think he might be a featherweight. I'm not sure. I think he might be a 145.
145, yeah.
For Giorgio Andrews, it's a guy I know absolutely nothing about, and I'll be clear.
Yeah.
Just looking at the Cage Rage card, I don't know a lot about a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with Imanari, who's one of the better featherweights in the world, a guy that would definitely give Uriah some problems if he was over in the States.
Yeah.
And then Gary Smiley Turner is fighting Mustafa Alturk. Alturk,
yep.
Most famous for beating a very washed-up Mark Kerr last year. So, which saddens me to say, Mark Kerr is one of my all-time favorites. But
yeah,
you know, beating
one
Mark
of the innovators.
Kerr at this point isn't much of a big deal. So
no. So there's that Cage Rage card coming up, and probably I guess the last noteworthy thing we can talk about for this week, as far as newsworthiness. Would be the Mark Coleman Brock Lesnar announcement.
Yes.
Now you had the UFC bringing in Mark Coleman for the Hall of Fame induction, which makes a lot more sense now that we're hearing about. I mean, obviously Mark Coleman belongs in the Hall of Fame for the UFC.
Yeah, I agree.
But the fact that they're bringing him back now to induct him into the Hall of Fame, that makes a lot more sense when you put it in the context of his comeback against Brock Lesnar. What do you think about that fight?
Well, it's odd. It's an odd fight. It's obviously they're both wrestlers. Mark Coleman is about as experienced as anybody in the world as far as just fighting wrestlers. You know, I mean, that's what he's done his whole life, pretty much. And I think he's just a little bit older and a little bit. He's going to be a little bit surprised by Lesnar's strength, I think.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You know, I mean, Coleman. The big advantage for him is that he's crafty. He's been around the block. Lesnar hasn't.
Yeah.
But sheer power. You know, I don't see Lesnar having much problems taking Coleman down just because he's such a brute.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I could see something weird happening. I really don't know how to feel about the fight. I got to say, I was surprised by the announcement when they were announcing that Coleman was being elected in the Hall of Fame. And then he kind of called out Brock Lesnar, and the next thing I heard, that fight was official.
Right.
I was a little surprised by it. I was like, whoa, that came out of nowhere. I heard nothing about that.
Yeah, now to me, I think it's the perfect fight for Lesnar, really. I mean, you've got – I thought that he was going to come against a guy like Justin McCulley.
That's what I thought. I thought it was McCulley all the way. And
I had predicted McCulley before he went on Inside MMA and said that he was approached with the fight, which really wasn't a big surprise because McCulley, you know, he's a wrestler. And you know, in his fight against Anthony Hardonk, anybody with decent submissions could have submitted about 400 or 500 times in that fight.
Exactly.
And Lesnar would pound them out with zero difficulty. But, you know, you get a guy like Coleman in there, and the UFC is going to promote this fight, showing old clips of Coleman in the early UFCs and winning that Pride Grand Prix, and they're going to build him up as a legend, which he is, really.
Uh-huh.
You know, but they're going to build up that fight like that. And then Lesnar, you know, I see him coming in and just steamrolling Coleman.
Yeah, I think Lesnar will have very little difficulty handling Mark Coleman. I keep trying to think of ways that Coleman could win the fight, and I'm having a hard time coming up with them.
Yeah.
Because his whole thing is ground and pound, and I can't picture in my head Mark Coleman being on top of Brock Lesnar.
No, there's zero chance.
It's a
zero
picture that makes
him
no
on top.
Sense. I can't reconcile it in my head.
No.
You know, it's just every time I see that fight in my head, I see Lesnar on top, Coleman pounding down.
Yeah.
So,
And Lesnar has got some power from the top. And, you know, just obviously his first fight was not against someone with a lot of credentials. But the way that he pounded out Minsoo Kim, you know, with shots to the side of the head, while Kim's head wasn't even on the ground.
No, it was
and Kim's tapping out. It's just ridiculous. I mean, the guy's got power.
Yeah, and I mean, let's just think back to the fight with Mir for a second, and the way he shot in and took Mir down and passed immediately.
Yeah,
it was unbelievable. It was.
Yeah.
I mean, it was shocking, and the way he was raining down, you know, hammer fists and strikes. You know, that fight was close to being stopped, I think, and when there was the break in the action, there was fairly controversial. I don't necessarily have too big a problem with it, but it's, you know, Mir got lucky. Lesnar kind of forgot what he was doing.
Yeah.
And Mir kind of grabbed the leg.
Yeah, to me, I think losing that fight for Lesnar might end up being a good thing for him, because I don't think you're going to come in and see the same kind of wild, crazy ground and pound that he was working against Mir. You know, Lesnar just seemed so excited to be in there and hitting somebody that, you know, forgot what he was doing. But I think you're going to see a lot more measured approach from Lesnar this next time. I mean, he'll probably still come in there and go at it hard, but I think the strikes will be a little less sloppy.
I think so too. And I think Coleman, when he was at his peak, it would have been a great fight. And, but I think at this point in time, it's Lesnar with just too much strength, too much power, just too much youth on his side. So
I mean, and really, it wouldn't surprise me to see Lesnar, you know, at least put him down on the feet. I mean, he put Mir down.
Yeah. Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And, you know, Coleman's never been, you know, regarded as a striker. But, you know, I mean, I definitely, you know, I'd have to say even the limited amount I've seen of Lesnar, I'd have to say he's probably going to be at least equal to Mark Coleman on his feet. So.
Yeah, definitely. And superior on the ground.
Yeah, I think so. Just because of his strength, you know. I mean, just Coleman is... it's not going to be as strong as Lesnar. I mean, that's the bottom line. So.
No, he's not. But also, I mean, you also have to mention the highlight of seeing Mark Coleman on the UFC pay-per-view was them also showing the Hammer House alum Wes Sims.
Yeah.
On UFC pay-per-view, Wes Sims being shown
on the broadcast. That was the biggest surprise. I was watching it with some of the guys that I manage, and they were like, is that Wes Sims? I was like, that is
even
got
mentioned
Sims.
By name.
Yeah.
They can't mention Hensel Gracie by name, but they'll mention Wes Sims.
Yeah. I was like, that's Wes Sims. I was like, I hope Frank Mir's not here, because Wes Sims will try to kick him in the head again. It was really odd. It was one of those surreal moments on
Yeah, very strange.
I was like, wow.
Very strange.
What's next, Mike Kyle? They're going to bring him out?
Yeah.
See what we got there. Yeah, I thought it was very odd. So
yeah, Wes Sims sporting the old Boss Rutten tattoos.
Yeah,
very weird.
That's him there. That's the project in all of his glory. So
yeah, no kidding. Well, good. I think I got that. Pretty much wraps up the news for the last week or week and a half or so. You have any parting shots? I think so.
You know, no, that was a. The week that was fairly eventful, so I look forward to doing it again real soon.
Right on. Well, we'll definitely be back with another edition next week. In the meantime, keep up with the with all the happenings at MMATorch.com, the new look MMATorch.com. Check us out on the forums. We're hanging out in there. We've got new content up every day. We're going to be doing this podcast thing every week. And so thanks again, John, for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I look forward to doing it again.
Time. And for John Taylor, this is Sean Edison. Thanks for listening.